ברוכים הבאים רבותיי. Welcome to another edition of our Thursday night class. We are studying Perashat Beha'alotecha. Our parasha begins with the lofty subject of the menorah. וידבר אדוני אל משה לאמור, דבר אל אהרון ואמרת אליו, והעלותך את הנרות. When you, he says over here, kindle the lamps, when you raise them, אל מול פני המנורה, they should face the menorah, the center piece of the menorah, יאירו שבעת הנרות. So משה רבנו tells אהרון, this is what you have to do, you have to light the menorah. He gives him instructions how to light the menorah. Vayasken Aharon. And Aharon does so. Vayasken Aharon. He follows the instructions. So the Rashi comes along and says, Vayasken Aharon lehagid shevacho shel Aharon. This comes to teach us the praise of Aharon HaKohen. Shelo shina. He did not deviate. He did not change. On this one Rashi, there's pages and pages and pages of Torah to explain what Rashi is coming to teach us. What the Torah is coming to teach us. Vayasken Aharon. Aharon did so. Ah, we have to praise him. Lagid shevacho shel Aharon. No, we have to give him kavod. We have to give him a shevach. Shelo shina. He didn't deviate. I would have thought he should deviate. Why should he deviate? He's a tzaddik yisod olam, Aharon HaKohen. God tells him to do something. It's his kavod to do it. To light the menorah is the biggest honor in the world. Why would I have a havamina? Why would I even have a first thought to think that he wouldn't oblige to the instructions, that I need the pasuk to say, Vayasken, don't worry, he did it. Vayasken, you need Bar Menan Leavdil for a child. Where you tell a child to do something, and he executes. Vayasken, he did it. Children don't follow instructions always. That you need a Vayasken. But for Aharon HaKohen. So I'd like to offer some interpretations to this Rashi from the Sfarim. And there's lessons to be learned from almost all of them. On a simple level, Vayasken Aharon. To light the menorah, there were specific instructions. One of them was Beha'alotecha. Rashi says you had to put steps in front of the menorah, in order that the Kohen walks up the steps and he cleans the menorah and he works the menorah. Rashi says that in the beginning. Rashi says Beha'alotecha, Mikan. שמעלה הייתה לפני המנורה. There was a מעלה, there was stairs. שעני הכהן עומד ומתיב. And he stood over the menorah and he cleaned the menorah out. So, we would have thought, Aharon could have said, well, I don't need the steps. After all, Aharon was a towering figure. Aharon was tall enough. Aharon was very tall, the Midrash writes. Certainly the step for him is superfluous. You could argue, who needs a step? One day in the future you can have a short Kohen, and he needs a little elevation, so they give him a stool. But for me, I don't need it. So you shouldn't think that Aharon took the law into his own hands. Nagid shevachot shel Aharon, shelo shina, use the steps. There's a lesson over here. A person might think, when he reads a law, he thinks he's smarter than the law. He thinks, this part of the law doesn't apply to me. It's superfluous, it's extra, it's auxiliary, it's not necessary. I'll do the mitzvah this way, and we start to delete things that we think in the Torah are not important because we don't understand it. Who knows why Borei Olam wanted a step over there? maybe it wasn't only for the short Kohanim. Maybe there was other inyanim, maybe there was other deep concepts why Borei Olam wanted to step over there. But once you think you know better than the Torah, the only reason why I can have a step is for height. I have the height. You don't need it. Move the step away. As smart as Aaron was, Lo Shina, he would not deviate from even the parts of the mitzvah that he thought were extra. This brings us to a great Musar. The Torah was given at Har Sinai. Subsequently, the Torah says, Baruch Asher Yakim et Divrei HaTorah Zot. Blessed is the man that is Yakim. He upholds the Torah. The Gemara learns from here a law that in the synagogue, when they take out the Sefer Torah, you have to lift it up. Baruch Asher Yakim. And the Pasuk says the converse. Arur Asher Lo Yakim. Cursed is the man that does not lift the Sefer Torah up. When they're taking the Sefer Torah out of their chal, if he goes low, it's not good. You have to keep it high. I once heard a pshat in the name of Rabbi Hutna, Alav HaShalom, to explain this lifting the Sefer Torah high. So he said like this. If you go to England, they have a big clock. They call it the Big Ben. I was there, I saw it. It's nothing special, to be honest with you. It's a clock. But everybody goes to see it, so you have to go see it. You don't get too excited. It's a clock. It's nothing more special than any of the clock you're going to see. It's just very tall. Everybody's, everybody's getting excited from the clock. So Rabbi Hutna said, why do they put the clock so high? Simple, so everybody can see it. It's a landmark. He says, no, that's not the only pshat. The reason why they put the clock so high is because if it would be low, everybody would come along to the clock and start changing it. They say, well, it's off 2 minutes. They look at their clock. No, it's wrong, the Big Ben. Move it this way. Look at their clock. No. So all day long, they'd be moving the clock. Which means everybody would be setting the Big Ben based on their clock, based on their time. So he says, they come along and put it very high to tell the people, this is the time. You set your watch according to this, not the opposite. You don't touch this. This is the official time. This doesn't move. So he said, that's the pshat. When we take out the Sefer Torah, we lift it up. As if we come to say, you must conform your life according to the law of the Torah. The Torah doesn't change. The Torah remains on high. You have to adjust yourself to fit into the Torah law. But Chas v'Shalom, if you put the Torah low, then each person comes along and says, this doesn't apply in this generation. What the Torah calls an abomination, this is for those days, today it's okay. And this item, we live in a modern world, and then all of a sudden the Torah now becomes, Chas v'Shalom, vandalized, and becomes compromised, and then you have no Torah. Baruch Hashem Yakim et HaTorah Zot. The Torah must remain upon high, that you set your time according to it, and it does not have to set its time according to us. That means even the parts of the Torah you don't understand. Even the parts of the Torah that, Hukim, milk and meat, why? Shatnez, Paraduma, there's a lot of laws that the modern mind, the secular mind cannot process. And therefore the Torah comes along and teaches us a lesson. The greatness of Aaron was, as smart as he was, as great as he still took the steps up. If you would ask Aaron, what are you taking the steps up for? You don't need the step. You're tall without it. Hashem said, do the steps. I'm taking the steps. But could you explain it? I don't know if you can explain it. The Tzivuy Hashem, Vayas Ken Aaron, Lagit Shevacho, to give us his praise, Shelo Shina. He didn't deviate, because everything in our religion has a reason. Even the smallest halachot, there's no such thing as a small halachot, small halakha, everything is divine. Even the minor detail, which I say again, there's no such thing as minor detail, has a significance and has a reason. to do the mitzvah kemitzvata kinitinata mesinai. That's the first explanation. Just to give you another flavor from left field, from another side. And we'll go back and forth. The menorah was lit in the afternoon, ben arba'im. And then in the morning, the Kohen would come and clean it out, add new oil, add a new wick, prepare it, and then again light it in the afternoon again. Miraculously, the center candle, which we call the Nera Ma'aravi, would last miraculously for 24 hours. You wouldn't need to relight that candle. The Nera Ma'aravi was actually the litmus test for Klal Yisrael to know that God was happy with them. It's like you have a sign in the Beit HaMikdash. If you want to know the mood of the Shekhinah of Kiviyakon HaKadosh Baruch Hu towards us, you look at the Nera Ma'aravi. It's lit. That's God's green light. Everything's fine. So the Tosafot says that what? It's possible that in the times where Kadosh Baruch Hu was upset with Klal Yisrael, so the Nera Ma'aravi goes out. So in that case, then the Kohen would have to add water or add oil to the Nera Ma'aravi in the morning. If it goes out, then the Nera Ma'aravi becomes like every other Ner. You have to reload it and refuel it. As long as Aaron was serving for the 40 years that they were lighting the menorah in the Midbar, in the Mishkan, it never went out. There was never a deviation where one day he had to add oil in the center piece. The menorah was lit the same way every single day. It never had to be lit in a different procedure by having to add oil now because it went out in the morning. The Nera Ma'aravi stayed lit in the Zechut of Aaron. Lagid Shevachos Shel Aaron, Shelo Shina. He did not change the service. The service remained constant. The service remained stable throughout the period. The Nera Ma'aravi never went out. Therefore, he never had to change the system of lighting. That's a different derech. There's yet another interpretation to this. The holy books write that the sticks of the menorah, the candles, there was three on the right and there was three on the left. The three on the right represent the service of Torah and Mitzvot. That's what we call Orech Yamin Bimina. On the right side is Arichut Yamin, that's Olam Abba, that's Torah and Mitzvot, that's the right, that's the primary side. Whereas the three on the left, Ubismola Osher V'Chavod, on the left side represents materialism, wealth and honor, and every Jew is involved in both. You need to learn, you need to do Mitzvot, that's the right side of the menorah, but you also need to engage in Olam Hazeh. Don't we eat? Don't we sleep? Don't we go to work? We have to have a certain connection to Olam Hazeh. But if you look at the way the menorah worked, all the six kanim would all lean towards the center. To come and teach you, the centerpiece is Keneged Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the miraculous one. To come and teach you, V'chol ma'asecha yiyu l'shem shamayim. All your actions have to be l'shem shamayim. Not only does your mitzvot have to be l'shem shamayim, but even your physical activity, the three on the left, the job is to also sanctify it and harness the physical side of us for the Shekhinah, Hashem. You eat l'shem shamayim, you sleep l'shem shamayim, you work out l'shem shamayim, you tend to your bodily needs l'shem shamayim, you bathe l'shem shamayim, you have children l'shem shamayim. All the things that we have to do as human beings, we have to mekadesh it. So there's no such thing as a difference between when we're in shul and when we're not in shul. we're in shul, we're praying. Of course, everybody's Hashem Shamayim. There's no change in attitude. And when you leave the synagogue and go to work, it's the same thing. It's the same service. So now you're serving God in the world. The Kutzke Rebbe once said on the Pasuk, Hashamayim Shamayim Ladonai, Ve'aris Natan Lebnei Adam. He said, Hashamayim, the Shamayim, the heavens, Shamayim, it's a Shamayim, it's holy. La'Hashem. Hashem made the Shamayim heavenly already. We don't need you to make the Shamayim a Shamayim. God did that already. Ve'ha'ares natan libne adam. But the earth and the earthly things, God gave that to man to make it a Shamayim. You don't have to make the Shamayim a Shamayim. Make the ares a Shamayim. Ve'ha'ares natan libne adam, to make it a Shamayim, to sanctify it, to infuse in it Kiddusha. And therefore there's no break. I once heard a beautiful explanation on the Mishnah Pirkei Avot. The Mishnah says, a person is learning, HaMafsik Mimishnato VeOmer Manna'e Ilan Zu. Person is in the middle of learning, and all of a sudden he looks and he sees a tree. And he says, ho ho, what a wonderful tree. What a beautiful tree this is over here. Shtabashem olahad, what a beautiful tree. Mithayev ben afsho. He's guilty, he's liable with his life. Wow. So the simple pshat is, bitul Torah. You're in the middle of learning, where are you looking at trees for? You're not in the botanical gardens now, you're not on a field day trip. When you're learning, keep your head in the book. What are you cruising? What are you touring now the garden for? After you close the book, you want to go look at trees, kol hakavod. But in the middle of the sugya, you stop and say, oh, what a beautiful tree. I heard a beautiful explanation though. When a person's learning, he connects himself to Kadosh Baruch Hu. But when a person's looking at a tree, you wouldn't think that that's religious activity. No, religious activity, that's learning, mitzvot, mikveh. But looking at a tree, that's downtime. That's involving yourself in olam hazeh. That's a break. The Mishnah is coming to tell you it's not a break. Even when you go on your leisure time, and even when you're going to enjoy the creation, it has to be also with the same kavanah, like you're learning Torah. It's not a hifsek. It's not an interruption, but if a person has an attitude, HaMafsik Mishnato, VeOmer Manae Ilanzu, if to him, when he goes into the world, to him it's a hifsek, it's an interruption to the service, Mithayim Ben Afsho, because there's no interruption. It's all one long service. V'chol Ma'asecha Yiyu L'Shem Shamayim. The Gemara says in Baba Metzi'ah, Baruch Atah Ba'ir, you should be blessed in the city. Kabbalah says, who is blessed in the city? Says, Sheyehe Betcha Samuch LeBet HaKnesset. That your house should be next to the synagogue. Of course, the simple explanation is true. You are blessed if you have a house next to the synagogue. Not like in some communities that sacrifice proximity to the synagogue for a big house and for a more posh neighborhood, and then God forbid they end up having to drive and make avirot. No, you're blessed if you could walk to the synagogue. It's a walking distance, it's blessed. But there's a deep explanation to this Gemara. In the synagogue, everybody's in the Lashem Shamayim mode. Why else do you come to synagogue? You're praying, you're giving tzedakah, maybe you do daf yomi, you read a little Chok L'Yisrael. Ah, that's the spiritual side. And then after you leave the synagogue, now you go to work. That's already a different gear. Now already you shut the gear of religion, and now you go off to make a living. There's no separation. The Gemara is saying, Shiyeh Betcha Samuch LeBet HaKnesset. The attitude that you have outside the shul has to be close to the attitude that you have in the shul. Shibet chasamuch. There should not be a distance. There should not be a mental distance between the two. Just because now you're going to work and sell widgets, the Shem Shamayim, there's Shulchan Aruch, there's Halachot. You have to stop in the middle of the day to pray mincha. You have to give your ma'asir. You have to conduct honestly. You have to be have integrity. You have to make Kiddush Hashem. God is not only in the synagogue. You have to bring God outside of the synagogue as well. And that's the greatness of Aharon. When Aharon lit the menorah, he brought this concept into the world. He lit the three on the right side, that's the mitzvot, and the three on the left side, that's the olam hazeh, and he lit it in such a way that it all goes to the middle, all to the center. Lehagid shevachos shel Aharon, shelo shina, there was no deviation, there was no difference between the Kodesh and the Hol, because the Hol became Kodesh as well. Everything is Kodesh. The tzaddik that's able to elevate the mundane, that's able to put the holy Shekhinah into everything that he does, so there's no difference. Whether he's learning or looking at a tree, it's all the same. That's the Midav Aharon, Agit Sheva Hoshel Aharon, Shelo Shinah. To him, both sides reach the same goal. The Arizal writes, if a person does this correctly, he could reach higher madregot in the eating of Shabbat than even the tefillot of Shabbat. Spiritual levels from the eating, even higher than praying, musaf, and the tefillot. So you see, the way that Arizal ate, his eating could be higher than a tefillah. That's what we're talking. Lo shinat, to the Ari, it's no difference. I'm praying the Amidah, I'm eating. It's the same avodah. I can get to the same place. But there's another explanation. Rav Levi Yitzhak Meberdichev once commented, and he said, he wouldn't be able to light the menorah. If he was given the job, he couldn't do it. Because he was filled with such excitement and such, you call it nervousness, to do such a mitzvah that's so lofty and so great, he says, I would spill the oil from the nervousness. You know, sometimes when you have to perform in front of somebody big, you have to make a speech. You're nervous and you fumble and you don't say it good and you mess up the whole thing. To the tzaddikim, when they're doing a mitzvah, they're standing in front of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, they feel it. The Levi Yitzhak Meberdichev says, you know how great this mitzvah was? I'd be too nervous to do it the right way. They say when he used to shake the lulav, on the first day of Sukkot, he would get so excited, and he would bang, and have so much itlahavut, so much energy, he'd break the teva, all the lulavim fell on the floor. The tzaddikim, they had a hard time containing their excitement. Baal Shem Tov said when he used to light his menorah, a few times it fell over, tipped over because he was too excited. The greatness of Aharon HaKohen is that he was able to do the mitzvah and he was able to contain himself. They say about the Ramat Mipano, Rabbi Menachem Azariah Mipano. It was a big, big tzaddik. What was his test of life? His test was, maybe some of you have this test as well, he couldn't contain his neshama into his body. His neshama was so great, it just kept on wanting to just go up. So he constantly needed students to sit next to him to ground him, to keep him in olam hazeh. Because if they would leave him for a second, he would just get out. He would just pack out and go back to wherever he came from. The greatness of Aharon HaKohen when he lights the menorah, the Agid Shevacho, it's a praise to the tzaddik that he's able to control the emotion and to control the spiritual euphoria and to control all the, they said, the excitement that comes with doing such a mitzvah, Sheloshina, to maintain his equilibrium, even though he's doing something that's I hate to do what I'm going to do now, to be honest with you. I have no choice. I once learned, for the sake of clarity, you have to say even things that are silly, just so the student has clarity. You'll forgive me. But our generation, we understand, unfortunately, the secular things. Lehavdil alfei havdalot. In baseball. See, that's why I have to give this hakdama. So you have a pitcher that comes into the World Series. He's nervous because he knows it's a big game and he knows everything and he knows how to pitch. He went to school, they taught him how to throw a ball. He knows all that. But sometimes what happens is because he's so nervous, he overthrows. He's trying too hard. He can't be natural. Just do it natural. Just throw it like it's a regular. He can't because the excitement gets so strong. So they tell he's overthrowing. He's not doing just be that. And the pitching coach comes out. He takes and goes like this. Calm down, calm down, calm down. And then in the booth they say, "Hey, he's telling him to calm down because he's excited. He's excited." And then one or two innings, okay, he gets into his groove, and then the rest is good. But the truth of the matter is, there's no enough care in a baseball game. If you overthrow, it's not going to change too many things. Mashiach's still going to come. Everything's going to still change the world. But could you imagine Aharon HaKohen's going to light them in Orah? This is more than any World Series. This is more than any game. And Aharon understands what he's doing and what the power of the menorah is. So to do it and contain himself that everything is done the right way without tipping the menorah over or without tripping on the step or without doing too much, that's a kawah. Lehagid shevacho shel Aharon shelo shina, that he was able to maintain the equilibrium and the kavanot and not get overly excited where it would take away from the mitzvah. This is also a shevach. There's another interpretation. I'm not keeping track of how many we said. At the same, after we'll review them, maybe we can come up with five or six explanations. Ah, listen to the beautiful explanation. By the way, in my heart of hearts, I didn't have to get to the heart of hearts, in my heart, I believe and I know that Rashi HaKadosh had in mind all these explanations that I'm saying. You shouldn't think, Doresh, he's saying Derashot tonight. When Rashi wrote these words, much more than I'm saying tonight is in his words. That's the Gadlut of Rashi. In a few words, look how much Torah comes out from one Rashi. You talk for an hour, one Rashi. And explanations like this, they say. Aharon HaKohen was known to be the Ohev Shalom Verodev Shalom. Aharon was a man of peace. Aharon was a great arbitrator amongst people, amongst couples that were feuding, amongst partners that didn't see eye to eye, amongst family members that had acrimony. This was his way. Ohev Shalom Verodev Shalom. Ohev et ha-biriyot. He loved the people. Now we know there's a rule. The rule is, when it comes to making peace, you're allowed to lie. The Gemara says, "Mishanim mipenei ha-shalom." You're allowed to change or alter the truth for the sake of peace. Sefer Hasidim writes, you shouldn't make a habit of it, because it will become second nature, but if a person, to make the peace, it seems that peace is a greater virtue than even the truth. So you sacrifice truth in front of peace. So you would figure Aharon used that heter. After all, he's the peacemaker. He has to exaggerate a little, and he has to lie over here a little, just to get the deal, just to make it work. But there's another method. When Aharon lit the menorah, as we're going to see, the menorah, the lights of the menorah, represent the souls of Israel. Always whenever you see a light, a candle lit, it should remind you of a neshama. Ner Hashem Nishmat Adam. A candle in Judaism is related to the neshama. That's why on a yahrzeit, what do? We light a candle. Because the closest thing in this world that can relate to a neshama is a light, is a candle. The candle is something spiritual. If you think about it, everything in this world goes down. Is drawn to the gravity, goes down. But the flame goes up. Hadush. It's something lofty. Like the neshama, it goes up. So when Aaron's lighting the menorah, you have to know his kavanah is not lighting only menorah. His kavanah is, he's influencing the neshamot of Klal Yisrael. When he's lighting, it's affecting the guy in his tent fighting with his wife. When Aaron lights the menorah, he gets infected by that. And therefore, Aaron did not have to lie. Through his service of the menorah, that was already effective for him to do his work in the shalom business. Lagid shevacho shel Aaron, to give the praise to Aaron, shelo shina. He did not have to deviate from the truth. He was able to be emet and have shalom at the same time. Because through his lighting of the menorah, that inspired the people to make peace. That already made it easier. We didn't have to compromise on something else. So another explanation. I saw brought down in Sfarim, there's two types of tzaddikim. There's the tzaddik that's considered Oseres ono, he does the will of God. And there's another tzaddik that's considered Overetz ono. Aha. He breaks the will of God. Now I understand the Oseres ono, but Overetz ono? Usually Overetz ono is used on a sinner. He's Over, he's Avarian, he breaks the will of God. But they say no. The tzaddik also is over retzono shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He breaks the will of God. How? God sometimes makes a decree. This is his will. He wants to make a decree. What does the tzaddik do? He comes along and he breaks it. Tzaddik gozer v'HaKadosh Baruch Hu mekayem. The tzaddik is gozer. He says, I want it this way. HaKadosh Baruch Hu breaks his will in front of the tzaddik. That's considered over retzono. That the tzaddik has the ability to break the will of God, to nullify the decrees. But there's a much higher level. That's Oseres Ono. Sometimes before HaKadosh Baruch Hu will do something, he comes to consult with the tzaddik. So the tzaddik doesn't have to change the will of God. The tzaddik already is in the conversation from the beginning. He's in the negotiations. Where do you see that from? What's the classic example? You don't know the classic example? Avraham Avinu, Sedom. Kadosh Baruch Hu comes to Avraham. What do you think we should do with Sedom? He gives Avraham a heads up. Avraham Avinu is a part of the process. After Avraham Avinu realizes there's no way he could fix it, okay, do what you have to do. There, HaKadosh Baruch Hu consults. He didn't make a gezerah and Avram has to undo it. Avram's there from the inception. That's a higher madriga. It's a higher madriga to be consulted than having to change the gezerah. So they say, Aharon was from these type of tzaddikim. He was not from the Ovrei Retzono. He was from the Oseh Retzono. And that's what it means. Lehagid shevacho shel Aaron. You know what the praise of Aaron was? Shelo shina. He didn't have to change the will of God. He didn't have to mevatel the gezerah. Lo shina. He already was there from the beginning. Whatever he says from the beginning, Borei Olam would do. He didn't have to mevatel. Lo shina. That's the call of Aaron HaKohen. But there's another interpretation. You see, beautiful, beautiful, beautiful interpretations. Candy, we're giving out candy. It's candies. It's not candy, it's a little more delicious than candy. Somebody asked you, where did you come tonight? I went to the candy store. That's where it is. I'd also say the same thing. This is the Musar There's an advantage of being religious, and there's a disadvantage. The advantage of religious people is that they practice their religion every day. The disadvantage of religious people is that they practice their religion every day. What does it mean? Because we're so familiar with the rituals, because we come to shul 3 times a day, because we put on tefillin every single day, because we're shomrei Shabbat every single week, so when we become familiar with something, so then it becomes monotonous. It becomes ordinary. It becomes routine. The service now becomes somewhat robotic. We could put our tefillin on without even thinking. We know all the moves. In 2 seconds, we're able to pray. We don't even need a sidur. That's the negative side of it. Because once the religion loses its freshness and loses its excitement and loses its novelty, so then it becomes very bland, it becomes boring, it becomes very dry, and then when there's no spice in it, it cannot elevate you anymore. It loses the vitality. Just because we're so good. Take the Baal Teshuvah. Oh, you see the Baal Teshuvah, he's praying a 15-minute Amidah, and you see him, everything he's doing is Bidhilur Himu, because he's new on the block. And we look at him with funny eyes. Well, look at this guy over here, what is he doing over there? What is this guy doing over there? Amidah is supposed to be 3 minutes. What is he shaking like a Udav over here for? And you're right to a certain extent, because he shouldn't make a spectacle of himself either. But he's excited. He can't get enough of this stuff. That's our challenge. All of us know, take the bar mitzvah boy. How does he put on the tefillin the first day of his bar mitzvah? Oh, he does it once, he doesn't like the way he does it again. And he's playing with them the whole tefillah to make sure they're not touching each other. He counts it 15 times to make sure it's the right number. He looks in the mirror to make sure the shildosh moves it this way, that way, perfect. And as you get more familiar with the tefillin, and then you get used to it, and then it becomes just another robotic exercise. To the extent where it can come to a situation where you could forget that I put on tefillin today. Or maybe not to that extent, because you still see the marks on your arm. But for sure, you can come to the extent where you'll say, did I say Birchot HaShachar or not? You don't know if you made Birchot HaShachar. Because Birchot HaShachar becomes part of the routine, of as you're getting dressed, as you're walking in the car. So you don't even know if you did it. Oh, that's a problem. Aaron HaKohen, he lights the menorah the first time. Could you imagine the excitement? The first time you light it. You know what? You don't got to go to leave Aaron HaKohen for a second. Just look at the difference between the first night of the Seder and the second night of the Seder. Did I make my point or no? The first night of the Seder, you're looking forward to it from Purim already. Put the seder, we're going to eat it, the matzah, the maror, the leading, the wine, everything's there. And already the second night of the Seder, already it lost its freshness now already. Now there's drudgery. Now already, okay, speed it up a little. It's the second night already. You know, already the kids want to say Hadushim. No, come on. It's the second night already, come on. That's the nature. Even just to do it twice already, we can't do it twice. The first night of Hanukkah, oh, by the last night of the Hanukkah, the oil's all over the place, and the menorahs, the wax is everywhere. It's the last night. But the first night, Shehiyanu, we're sitting by the menorah, we're singing by the menorah, we're doing all the kavanot. Again, to do something 8 times in a row, next. Especially in our generation, we have such a short attention span for things. So that's where the problem in religion is. Aaron HaKohen lights the menorah the first time. Oh, kavanah, shehiyanu. No. You know what the greatness of Aaron was? That 40 years later, the last time he lit the menorah was the exact same way he lit the first menorah. That means he didn't change. You didn't see it, it didn't get stale. If you just took a video and you saw the last day, you'd think that was his bar mitzvah day. You wouldn't know the difference. You saw this must be the first time he's lighting it. What an excitement. He's getting up there, he's dancing, he's singing, he's lighting, he's smiling. You wouldn't know that this is 40 years later, he's still doing the same ritual. That's a shiva. That's a praise. Sheloshina. To keep the excitement. The only way to keep the excitement. I shouldn't say the only way. There's two ways to keep excitement in mitzvot. Number one, learn the mitzvah. When you learn about the mitzvah, now the mitzvah becomes tehayat emetim. You start to learn the laws of Kiryat Shema. You start to learn the laws of Hadlakat Nerot. Another mitzvah takes on a new spirit. Or learn Musar. When you learn Musar, Musar is like a pep talk. I'm not talking about the Musar that gets you depressed. Not the Musar about Gehinnom with the googly eyes and the monsters. That's not a Musar that's going to inspire you. That's a Musar that's going to give you nightmares. That's a crushing Musar. For our generation, that's a little hard, that Musar for us. We have to study a Musar that builds you up. You feel motivated. You feel excited. Talks about Gadlut Adam, the greatness of man. How much power God has given us with such a holy neshama. You can conquer the world. You have abilities. You have potential. You have kohot. God expects much from us. Kedushim to you. You're holy like God. Oh, where's the mitzvah now? I want to climb the mountain now. Through Musar, this keeps mitzvot fresh and exciting. We'll say another interpretation. The pshat is like this. People change. What do I mean to say? You have a fellow, he was a mediocre guy, middle class level. Not so rich, not so poor. He's a regular guy. He has his friends. He has a social life. He has a good demeanor. Derech Eretz with people. He's a regular good guy. And then all of a sudden what happens? He makes some money. Now all of a sudden it becomes hashuv. Now he already has some money in his pocket. He doesn't want to talk to his friends that he has. Now these friends are low life. He doesn't want to be seen in the wedding sitting with the bourgeoisie anymore. Now he's able to rub elbows with the higher echelon. Now already he starts to snub all the peasants, all the people that are beneath him. That's what happens. And you see the people say, he's not the same guy anyway. The money changed him. I said a pshat last week, in the Birkat Kohanim that we get blessed, the first three words are Yibarechecha Adonai v'yishmerecha. Yibarechecha, that she says, b'mamon. You should be blessed with money. Okay, prosperity. The Yishmerecha means you need protection, because after you get blessed with money, now all the thieves want to take the money away from you. So with the blessing of money, you need a blessing of protection. I said a different shot. Yibarechecha Hashem, God should bless you with money. V'yishmerecha, He should protect you from the money that He just gave you. Because with the money comes now tremendous dishonor that it's going to corrupt you. And now you're going to be ge'eh. Now you have your nose in the sky, and kohi bi'otzim yadi, and look what I did, look what I accomplished. And then you start to look down at people, and now they say, very few people you'll notice in life as they grow in prosperity keep their same friends. It's not easy, because now you have more money, you can go to different places, you can eat in a higher restaurant, you can travel to a fancier place, but you gotta keep the same friends over there, This is what happens. The Pasuk says in Kitavo, when God's giving the blessings, it says, Uba'u alecha kol ha-berachot ha-ele v'sigucha. And all the blessings will come to you v'sigucha, and they will reach you. Yes, the Hachamim. What is that extra word, v'sigucha? The blessings will come to you, and they'll reach you. If the blessings come to me, they're going to reach me, no? Says the Ba'alei Musar. God gives a person blessing the first year. He tells the angels, go to this guy, he lives in this address, give him berachot. He gets the berachot, all of a sudden the guy gets to his head, now all of a sudden he starts to change. He's not the same guy anymore. And now, comes the next year, God says, okay, go to this guy, give him a renewal. They come back to God, we couldn't find him. What do you mean you couldn't find him? He's not the same guy. It's a different guy. We don't recognize him. The true blessing is Ubao alecha kol haberachot ha'ele, and when God decides to renew it the second year, v'hisigucha, they should find you. It should reach you. You'll be the same guy. They shouldn't change addresses. This is the nisayon of life. Aaron HaKohen, originally, very humble man. Rodef Shalom, Rodef Shalom. He's running around all day long. This one has a problem, this one has a problem. Shalom Bayit. Aaron is in the field. He's getting his hands dirty. He's working in the Sibur. Rodef Shalom, Rodef Shalom. Not an easy job. Arbitration, early hours, late nights. Well, now what happens? God promotes him. God gives him the most coveted position in the whole Klal. You light the menorah. You know what type of promotion that is? Even Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't light the menorah. The menorah is a mitzvah that is eternal. No part of the Beit HaMikdash stood the test of time except the menorah. We still light the menorah today. And Aharon HaKohen, you're the administrator of the menorah. You cannot get a greater promotion in life. Now, you know what we would expect from somebody less than Aharon? Now already, listen, now I need an office. I need an office now. I'm going to go run around Shalom Bayit now. Now let me get a secretary, get an office. I'm not a regular guy anymore now. Now already, look, I'm in charge of the menorah now. Now I have initials before my name, initials after my name, Rashi Tevot. Make an appointment now. No, I can't talk to anybody now. The greatness of Aharon was, you didn't see a change before he got the job in the menorah, and after he got Le'agid Shebachosh Aharon, Sheloshina, he didn't change. He was the same humble man before and after. The success did not go to his head. That's a big praise of Aharon HaKohen. That you don't let the money corrupt. Like the saying goes, absolute power corrupts absolutely. Which means once these things enter the person, that's the Nisayon now. To remain the same. Nagid Shevachot Shel Aharon, Sheloshina. Another interpretation, which is which is an offshoot of what I just said. When we talk about the great tzaddikim, their challenge was to maintain great spiritual levels, get very close to Hashem, but at the same time, still be able to relate to the common man. This is the challenge of the great tzaddikim. I'm always amazed when we go visit in Israel, Gedolei Yisrael, and they're able to put on, at least for a few seconds, such a regular side to them. And you know that they're steeped in the learning of Kabbalah and the highest esoteric concepts, and then you're talking to them and they're talking to you about your simple problems. And you can talk to them like you're talking to a friend, and they understand what you're talking about and they can relate to it. And then you know when you walk out, boom, they're back on a rocket ship into the 14th orbit and they go out of space again. And you're just wondering, how is it possible for them to maintain the Kiddushah on such a high velocity and level and still be Moshe Rabbeinu? They called them Isha Elohim. That's the greatest of Moshe. He was able to maintain an Ish. He was a person. At the same time as he was Elohim. As godly as he was, that's how much Ish he was. That's a shevach. Because most of the people, once you start getting up there, you don't want to know from the people anymore. Why should I deal with you? You're bringing me down now. Lock myself up into the cave and make myself a hermit and put myself into the solitary confinement, into a hermetically sealed environment, and then I won't get involved with the people of Tameh. What am I going to get involved with the people for? Now I'm going to waste my time now when the guy has a she'ela. Should he buy the stock or shouldn't he buy the stock? I'm going to have stock. Is he still with stocks? I'm already in the olamot. I should give you business advice now so you can make an extra couple of dollars so you can buy a fourth car. The greatness of the tzaddikim is, as high as they are, they're able to be as low as well. This is something that has to be worked at. Because again, the nature is, as you go high, you just want to stay high. You don't want to come down. Just think. You think I think for a second what I'm telling you now. You heard of Harvard? Your Siddiqueen, your people don't know anything. There's a big university. They call it Harvard. It's an Ivy League. Boys in Ivy League. And they have professors over there. Hashuvim. How do I know they're Hashuvim? Because they say that they're Hashuvim. They say that they're Hashuvim. I trust them. Imagine a big professor. He knows all of the science. He's giving derashot in front of thousands of people. You think they have it in their repertoire to have students from the fourth grade come to visit the big professor and sit with him? They don't have patience for this. Get out of here now. I'm in the astronomy. I'm in the stars over here. I'm going to sit with a four-year-old, teach him how to read the spot and the dogs. You cannot relate to such a thing. Bring him people on his caliber in the class. Well, that's normal, because once you're up there in the level, you cannot talk to the common folk person. They cannot talk to people that don't have the same vocabulary as them. A person comes in and talks words, less than 12-letter words. What am I talking to? I'm honest. I have nothing to talk to them about. But the gedolim, the greatness of them is, they're so high, you could... Chacham Avadya is writing teshuvot to Matir and Aguna, the hardest case in the world. A lady whose husband is missing, and you have to write a landmark response to figure it out. And 2 minutes later, they tell him the boys from the cheder in the lobby, they want to talk to the rabbi. The three-year-old wants you to cut his hair, rabbi. Could you? Oh, come down. And give him a lollipop and pinch his cheek and say, you better chasim yisrecha. It's unbelievable. That's the greatness of Aaron HaKohen. In the morning, he's lighting the menorah. Kavanot, levels, tishamot, he's involved in things. And what he's doing in the afternoon? Shalom bayit. My husband didn't buy me flowers the Shabbat. Okay, I got to deal with this now. She doesn't make me dinner. She burns the soup. You're sitting there now. I'm talking about the soup and the burning the soup and all that. And he doesn't take me on vacations. And then he screams at me. And he's this and that. And he knows tomorrow morning he's got to go now light the menorah again. And the whole night he's talking. That's the greatness of Shiloh Shina. He didn't reach the high level of Kiddushah and then say, leave the mundane stuff. The mundane stuff's not for me anymore. I give that to one of my, underlings. Let them take care of the Shalom Bayit stuff now. I'm Aaron HaKohen now. I'm learning Kabbalah now. I can't talk to anybody now. I'm busy. You go visit Rabbi Kaduri, as great as he was, but you went to visit him. He sat with him. You could talk to him. When you were talking to him, I don't know what he was thinking, is my way, but you thought he was talking to you at least. Ah, that's the Sadiqim. They're able to live ba'olam haba, ba'olam haze, simultaneously. Lagid sheba'ot shel Aharon. Shelo shina. He didn't quit his regular day job of the Ohev Shalom, even though he got the level of the Kiddushah. Okay, one more. I have many more here on the page, but we'll say one more. This is said for Baal Shem Tov. It says, Ayas Ken Aharon. It says in the beginning of the Torah, when God created the world, after each item that is created, the Torah says, Vayichin, and it was so. Take for example, on day two, God makes the rakia. Vayevdel ben amayim asher mitahat la rakia o ben amayim asher me'al la rakia. Vayichin, he made the firmament and it was so. Next day, the grass and the fruit. Pasuk says, Etz peri, ose peri lemino asher zar'o bo al ha'aretz, vayichen. And it was so. Go to the next day. That's when he made the sun and the stars and the moon. And the Pasuk says, on that day he also made. Well, let's read this pasuk. Vayulim orot berkias shamayim na'ir al ha'aretz vayichen. He also made the sea life and the animals. And the pasuk says as well, after he created them, vayichen, and it was so. There's only one part of the creation where it doesn't say vayichen. And that's on day one. God creates the light. Vayomer Elohim yehi or, vayhi or. But it doesn't say vayhi chen. And it was, because after he created the light, it wasn't. This light that was created on day one was a special light called Or HaGaluz. It's a light that's only for the tzaddikim. And with this light, the tzaddik can see from one end of the world to the other end of the world. This is a light that gives a person a tremendous amount of spiritual elevation and hasagot and understanding. But God saw that this light is so strong that it's going to be abused and the people are not going to be able to handle it. So He had to put it in the Genizah box. So it doesn't say Vayichin, because it wasn't. The Or came into the world for a few hours, for 36 hours, And after 36 hours, Borei Olam said, take it back. And said, we have to wait for Mashiach to come. Arachti ner l'mshihi. When the Mashiach comes, we can take out the light again. But guess what? For 2,449 years, the light was in Ginizah. And all of a sudden, Aaron HaKohen comes to light the menorah. And again, with his concentration, with his thinking, the kavanot, he was able to bring down a certain measure of this Ora Ganuz back down to the world. In the lights of the menorah, there was a reflection of this special light that God put back in the Ginizah through the menorah. That's why it says if somebody wants to become smart in Torah, you look at the menorah. You face the menorah. Kiner mitzvah b'Torah or Torah is the light. And where does the Torah come from? From the menorah itself. When you lit the menorah, it brought down Chochmat the Torah down to the world. Aharon was able to bring the world back to the way it originally was on day one. And that's why, even though it doesn't say Vayichen, when God created the light, but when Aharon lights the menorah for the first time, it says Vayaras Aharon Ken. And Aharon got to the level of Ken. The Vayichen of day one is delayed until Aharon lights the menorah, and the pasuk says, guess what? Vayas Aharon ken. Vayichen. And that's what Rashi says, Nehagid shevacho shel Aharon. Look at the shevach of Aharon. Sheloshina. He didn't change from the original intention of the creation. The original intention was to bring down this or. And Aaron was able to maintain that original intention to keep this or to a certain extent down. Sheloshina, he kept the original intention. Of a kadosh vayhi chen, the chen. Hachamim tell us today that we don't have Bet HaMikdash. Where is this light to be found today? I want to know where the light is so I can connect to this light. Baal Shem Tov says it's in the pages of Shas. It's in the Talmud. You want to know where the Or is? You open up the pages of the Talmud and you study it and you learn it, and the more you delve into it, all of a sudden you crack open these Orot. And with that, you start to be able to look at the world in a much different perspective. Why do we go to Gedolei Yisrael? Because they study the Talmud. There's no shortcuts to get this light. Guess what? Even if you wear a red string around your wrist, you're not going to get the Ora Ganuz. You believe it? Even if you get all the berachot from the guy that sat as a sandak, even if you sit in the sandak chair after the sandak sat in the chair, all these rabbit's feet that we turned the religion into, all these sigulot, the Jewish people are called Am Sigula, because we love sigulot. These things, don't bring it to the Ora Ganuz. The learning. You sit and learn the Talmud and the Gemara. From there, the light starts to come out. And then, all of a sudden, we don't have a menorah, so we have to do it the hard way. That's what it says. Vayaras Aharon Ken. Aharon got the world back to the Ken. The Vayichen that was missing on page one. Sheloshina. He didn't deviate from the original intention of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's what he wanted. He wanted the Ora Ganuz to be here. Ah, that's a beautiful explanation. Okay, who can review all the pshatim we said here tonight? I definitely cannot. Alright, I'll rely on the tape, Ezat Hashem. You listen to the tape again, but the lesson really has to be, with the musar of all of it is, 1 hour on one rashi. Ah, that's a class. Next year we'll go to the next Rashiva that Hashem was talking about. You could talk on one line of Hazal, endless. This is a musar to those that come along and think that she is for the kids in the first grade. You know, people get offended. Let me read you Rashi. I want to hear something esoteric. You know, what does the Zohar say? Relax on the Zohar. You don't understand Zohar. Tell me what Rashi's saying first. No, Rashi, we know Rashi. Rashi's easy. Rashi's elementary. Elementary in one word, like each of our Ochela, Aron, Chelochina, Ho, Terashot. And you tell me which one wasn't delicious. Which one you say, this one, return it, give it back to the waiter. Take this one back to the kitchen. You know, none of them, I want all of them. They're all good. Kulam kedoshim, kulam tehorim. This teaches us the reverence that you have to have for the Torah. The kavod that you have for the Torah. For every ma'amar hazal. Tile tilim. There's mountains and mountains of goods. We never run out. Somebody says, Rabbi, you're giving dirashot for so long, when are you going to run out of stuff? Such a small head. He has a small head. He thinks the Torah is very, very small. He doesn't know that the Torah was given by Borei Olam, and Borei Olam is eternal, he's endless. And just like he is endless, his Torah is endless. You never run out. Our sample case is an endless sample case. It doesn't have six pair of shoes in it. And then you show the customer six pair of shoes. I want another one. That's all I have six pairs. What do you think I am over here? Not a factory. But the Torah just keeps on growing and growing and growing. And hypothetically, it's possible to talk Torah for 100 billion years and never have to repeat yourself once. The only reason why rabbis repeat themselves is because they want to make a point to the Talmid. So they repeat it over and over so the student will remember these points. But technically, if he wasn't trying to drill it into the Talmid, you could just talk and talk and you never have to say one Hiddush twice. And so that's rich. And that's, you don't have to remember the Pshatim, we said. I did a short, he's a nice Musari. But this part you have to remember. The Yir'at HaTorah, Yir'at HaTorah, just like there's Yir'at Shamayim, there's Yir'at HaTorah, you have to have fear of the Torah. I once read from the chief rabbi, may he live and be well, Rav Shlomo Amar, he said in Casablanca when he was a child, on Thursday nights, they used to have a group of old men, he was a child, he used to study Zohar. Come into a certain attic, and he writes the way they used to come, not the learning. The learning was a different level. But the ritual before they started, they would have the Zohar in a certain hechal, in a certain closet. And they would all stand up in, fear, and they would honor somebody to have pitiha of the bookshelf. Who's going to open up the bookshelf to bring out the books of the Zohar to the table? That was a... And whoever got that kavod, they would give Hazaka Baruch, Skele Mitzvot, and they bring the books, and each book is wrapped in a proper covering, and they would carry the books, just to watch the way they carried the book to the table, you thought they were carrying the Shnei Luchot HaBrit. And the way they bring it down, and then they would sing a certain song, Lichvod HaZohar, before they would start learning, because... And these are simple men, these were not Rabbanim, these are regular guys. You see the reverence that they had for the Torah. This is something we have to remind ourselves of. Sheloshina. We cannot change from our own old tradition. Our grandparents and great-grandparents, they had this respect. We shouldn't come into a modern world and think we know better than them and start to tinker it and start to have a more blasé attitude towards this. On the contrary, we have to instill that into our children as well. When you talk Torah, it has to be on a high level. Torah is synonymous with God. Oraita kuchabirichu hadhu. It's all one. God is Torah, Torah is God. Whatever you talk about God, that you talk about Torah. And what you would not say about Borei Olam, you don't say about the Torah either. If it's a praise to Hashem, it's a praise to the Torah and vice versa as well. Baruch Hashem Yakiv, that's what we started with. You have to lift the Torah. You set your watch to the Torah. You don't set the Torah to your watch and to your life. Is that clear, Rabotai? Okay, we'll stop over here. Baruch Adonai Le'olam Amen.